Welcome to Tom Myers versus the rest of the world. Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh tested positive for COVID-19. He is quarantined, so now he knows how it feels to be held somewhere against his will. Cases of the Delta variant continue to go up in certain areas of the country. Unlike the initial version of the virus, this one has the capability of inflicting serious health problems on children. In fact, the Delta variant has ravaged so many kids that it's been given its own entry on the sex offenders registry. Kids who contract COVID-19 have it easy. We didn't have the Delta variant when I was growing up. No, we had to smoke multiple packs of cigarettes if we wanted to end up with lifelong respiratory problems. Florida's coronavirus situation is so bad now that containers of Florida's natural orange juice are required to carry the label, now with 200% more COVID-19. YouTube announced that it is taking down videos that contain false information about COVID or the vaccines. That means the only comedy podcast allowed to post clips on the site will be this one. Congresswoman Lauren Boebert took a photo with a goat at a fair and captioned it, "I made a new friend." Makes sense. That goat has the behavior of her supporters. And now on with the show. Please join me in welcoming Jeff Heisen, Abby Mello, and Gina Brown.
Hello.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. How is everyone doing this week?
I enjoyed the Boebert comment because she was talking about a goat, and as far as being the greatest of all time, she is the opposite.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, if she can provide that many punchlines without having to really work hard, she may have a point. Credit where it's due.
Do you think there was a staff member there with her going, "Don't stand next to the goat. Don't tweet about it because this is going to become a meme"? Or they're like, "Oh, good, this is going to become a meme and this is going to be done by the left so we can attack them attacking us."
Gina, Abby, how about yourselves?
Oh, good. Yeah, I had a reporter call me from a newspaper to talk about how I feel about voting rights and are they doing what I want them to do. So we'll see what happens with that. That'll come out this week or whenever he writes it.
Are you going to be quoted as saying, "Well, my friend Kamala and I"?
Well, he was there. He was there at the event. He's like, "Yeah, I was there at the event. And I just, is it okay if I, you know, ask you some questions?" And I was like, "Yes." So we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. So good times.
Abby, how about yourself?
Well, Gina was out there changing the world with her, voter rights legislation. I was being super petty with my property management company. We got an email this morning that they towed someone from the only handicapped space that they have. And there's photographs of the car. And you can clearly see in the pictures that it's not a properly signed handicapped space. And I've been saying this for months. The sign disappeared and they just never replaced it. So I then replied to this email with, I went out and found the actual like ADA rules about signage, and I highlighted them and I copied and pasted it into the email. And I explained that there's not actually proper signage anyway. And then when I came home, one of the property management vans was parked in the handicap space. Oh. So I took pictures of it from the same angles that they took pictures of the car that they towed, and I sent it back. I reported it to them and said, "Oh no, somebody else is parked in the handicapped space again, the one that's not properly signed to begin with." So I was extra petty today.
Because it's local and change happens at the very local level, and that's what you're doing.
Thank you, Gina. Thank you.
With negotiations ongoing over not only the infrastructure bills, but also over an agreement to raise the debt ceiling before we default on our loans, we really do have a potential to exceed everyone's expectations. We really can show we're number one at something. In the past, we've shown we're number one at industrialization, military capabilities, and foreign assistance. Now we can show we're number one at something else, self-harm. And joining us tonight to discuss these various topics, please join me in welcoming back attorney and former talk show host Ward Morrow.
Yay! Having that come right after you start talking about self-harm has me a little concerned, but...
I'm doing
just fine, thank you.
Well, Ward, welcome back to the show. Great to have you on here again.
Thank you.
So a lot of stuff has been happening. On the day that we are taping this, There was going to be a test vote going through, and then it was delayed, and now there's going to be another vote. I think by the time this episode goes out, Mitch McConnell will have worked out a deal where all of our credit just gets bought up by the Republic of Sealand. But that's only my opinion. Ward, what's your take on all these events?
Well, it sounds like they're going to kick the can maybe down till around Christmas time or Hanukkah. So if you're looking for a gift, I guess you know, the national debt might be something you can make a contribution towards. But it really seems kind of surprising to me when you've got McConnell saying Democrats are going to have to basically shove all this down our throats. We're not going to give a single vote. We're not going to do anything about it. And if anything goes wrong, we're just going to blame them. I thought we were going to be bipartisan. I thought we were going to work together. What's up with all that?
And what you have here, Ward, and correct me if I'm wrong, is we're paying for what they spent last year. This isn't paying for new spending. This is paying for the stuff that Trump, sorry, I said that, edit that out. What the former guy put through with the Democrats' cooperation in the spirit of bipartisanship, but it was all under a Republican Congress. Here, and now he's making up a new rule saying that the Democrats, since the Democrats run the House and the Senate and have a Democrat president, need to do this, even though we're paying for their spending.
Right. And it wasn't just last year. It was like 4 years of crud, right?
Yeah, we've got to pay the bills for the Secret Service thing at Mar-a-Lago for Trump.
That's what I was going to say. How many golf games was that?
And we got we have to pay the bills. We have to pay the bills for cabinet members in the former guy's White House flying on private jets, not abiding by federal travel rules, per an article in today's Washington Post.
Ugh. But if this conversation gets us to ending a filibuster, that's good, right? Maybe? This is the thing that does it, maybe? I don't know.
That's a pretty
good
idea.
Gotta be careful with the filibuster, because that's a double-edged sword. I mean, I know. I'd love to do it for, let's get this budget stuff through. Let's get the voting rights stuff through. Let's get the, reconciliation stuff through. I mean, a whole lot of good stuff we can get through. But if in 2 years, we don't control, one or both of the houses of Congress, and if in 4 years we don't control the White House, any bar the door, it's going to be really ugly.
Yeah.
Do you think McConnell is daring the Dems to do this so that if they can control in a year and a half, 2 years, then he can say, well, they did it.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've already done it, though. I mean, they've already blown through the filibuster, or at least temporarily suspended it, to go ahead and appoint. God, how many hundred judgeships did they fill during Trump's term? I mean, they've gone ahead and done it. And is it just the case of, do the Democrats, as much as I hate to say it, do they not have the spine enough to want to go ahead and do it themselves to get stuff that can actually help people, like voting rights, infrastructure, and, not setting up a system where we're all paying super high mortgage rates and credit card bills. And so we're not getting Social Security and child tax credit checks.
But I think Schumer has a choice here. Do you?
I actually think Al Franken has the best plan of all. And it's not a joke. His view was, the filibuster is supposed to be about actually debating things. So if you're going to debate about it, then 41 people need to show up. And 41 people don't show up in the Senate to say, we want to keep debating, then you move on forward. So you're still keeping the filibuster, but you really think 41 Republican senators are going to stick around all weekend long because they want to keep talking about reconciliation and the debt limit? I really doubt it.
So perhaps you would suggest that they do what they do in Texas.
Leave the state?
you have to be there. You have to be standing up next to your podium. Let's see Grassley do that.
The concept of allowing our country some leeway in order to pay its bills might seem like a common sense approach, but as we've all come to learn, common sense does not apply to those we elect to make decisions. In this clip, Louisiana Senator John Kennedy, the not-so-inspiring orator sharing the name of the former president, attempts to clarify the legislative process with Fed Chair Janet Yellen.
Senator Schumer, who's a Democrat, and my friend, controls the Senate floor. And he can raise the debt ceiling by just amending the budget resolution, can't he?
It's possible that that could be done.
Yes, ma'am. So why didn't he do it? Why don't y'all do it?
Because this is...
Why don't y'all just do it and then we don't have this fight?
Because
why do you insist on doing it the hard way?
Because it's very important to recognize that raising the debt ceiling is about paying bills that Congresses
have incurred in the past, and it's a shared responsibility. Why don't you just amend the budget resolution?
Democrats have provided votes in the past when both houses of Congress were controlled by Republicans, when the Republican Party was in the middle of reconciliation. Right. 2017 is a good example, and Democrats pitched in to do their duty to raise raise the debt ceiling.
But I know all that, and we and I appreciate your perspective. But let me ask you again: there's a real simple solution. Why don't y'all just amend the budget resolution? It just takes 50 votes by my Democratic friends and the Vice President. Why don't you just do that? Problem solved. Done. Easy peasy. Finish. Let's go have a cocktail.
Well, it will be up to the leadership of Congress to
decide. Are you going
to
recommend that he do that?
We will confer with them on what is the best strategy to move forward.
Yeah. Senator Kennedy, I rarely speak between witnesses, but I wonder if Secretary Yellen takes you up on the offer to go get a cocktail, if you would pay or you'd skip out on paying the bill and expect Secretary Yellen to pay.
No, Mr. Chair, the lobbyists who bought my campaign and my seat pay for my cocktails for me.
Well, that was a great comment by Sherwood Brown, wasn't it?
Oh, that's terrific.
That was beautiful. I could hear it again.
I mean, it's clearly for show what Senator Kennedy's doing. I mean, they know it can be easily solved, but a lot of this, you know, showmanship and sort of bloviating is just to go ahead and appeal to his base.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if he really wants to appeal to his base, one of the things they need to be thinking of is they've had some weather problems there and they're looking for a lot of FEMA money and a lot of government aid because of the weather situations. So if it were me, I'd turn around and say to him, well, okay, if you want us to handle the problem and you don't want us to spend too much, how about we cut every single dollar that goes to your state to provide aid to people in your state? Or do you think you might want to come along with us on this one and maybe vote, you know, to spend the money on that? Guys on the spot with that. I mean, you're right when you say the Democrats really need to stand up and say, almost like LBJ used to do, you know, pull them in a room and go, well, look, you know, look, Senator, you can either be with me and have that military base in your state, or I guess there's some other states that would really like that military base, and you can have all those jobs leave. Somebody's got to make these people pay a price for what they're saying and doing, and I'm not sure how you get that across. Maybe the whole labor movement needs to take over the Biden administration. We know how to negotiate. Send us up to the Hill. We can take them on.
I love that he was like, y'all Democrats need to do it. Like, you can get it done. Like, I'm not going to help you get it done. I'm just going to tell you how you could get it done without my help, but me watching you. He was totally mansplaining, completely mansplaining to that judge.
That was one of the most condescending things I've ever heard. It was so insulting.
Oh my gosh, painful.
Can I switch focus just a little bit? And I kind of want to talk about the person who was taking notes behind Kennedy, because did anybody else notice she looked like she was definitely dressed for a polygamy cult?
During his time as a student at West Virginia University, Joe Manchin played football. Based upon his style as a legislator since Joe Biden's inauguration, it's clear that he played in the days before helmets. In this video, Manchin's constituents confront him about his lack of support on various measures from voting rights to infrastructure. The meeting goes as well as one can when the public servant is on the deck of a boat looking down upon his constituents who are in kayaks.
Let me talk if you can. Where are y'all from? Anybody from West Virginia? We have any West Virginians?
We have a lot of West Virginians.
God bless you all. But gang, we're working hard. We really are. We're going to continue to in good faith. I really. We want to get a good bill that's a balanced bill, that's well done. And I know it won't be enough for some. It'll be too much for others. In West Virginia, you know, West Virginia's a little bit different than it used to be.
There's a lot of poverty. What are you going to do for the poor in West Virginia?
We're going to be working everything we can to create good opportunities.
And we need to tax the rich.
Oh, I agree with that. I definitely agree. That's the one number thing we should be doing is fixing the tax code so everybody pays their fair share. We should be also negotiating for lower drug prices. We should be doing all these things. I agree with you 1,000%. We're all on the same page, gang. We really are.
I'm not sure that's the right message to say when you're standing on the deck of a yacht and you're yelling at a bunch of kayaks, we're all on the same page. Clearly you're not.
I mean, like, I agree with you. Captain, take us away.
I agree. Tax the rich. Excuse me. Where did my porter go?
But did you like one of his answers was, well, we need to fix the tax code. That's not what we're talking about here. No, that's something that everybody wants. Yeah. And he just says that and it doesn't mean anything.
Nothing. Yeah, it's empty. Yeah.
I mean, the changes to the tax structure, I think, are in that infrastructure bill. It's the one that pays for itself. So, like, it's already there. Pretty much everything that, you know, not just Democrats, but also a lot of independents and Republicans, you know, even in states like West Virginia, want. And it's just it's odd that there are these holdouts who I'd almost like to know exactly what they're holding out for, unless it's just to get their name in the papers for a run for, I don't know, an even higher office.
Yeah, I don't think it's any higher office for him at this point. But, you know, have you ever been to West Virginia? Yes. Spent any time there? Yeah. I trying to get elected to office in West Virginia is going to be pretty tough for any Democrat. And I think he's just trying to position himself so that if somebody comes along later and says, Joe Manchin is just part of those radical socialists, you know, people would be like, Joe Manchin, a radical socialist? Really? The guy who held up everything? I mean, I think he's positioning himself to get reelected. I think, you know, he's the kind of guy you can probably cut a deal with, you know, in the back room at the last minute, and he'll move.
AOC said this today on when we're taping this. She said, by focusing on the number, you're not making them talk about which programs they want to cut out. Do they want to cut out the health programs, for example? Do they want to cut out certain infrastructure, roads, programs? What do they want to cut out? They just say, well, 3.5, 2 million, 1.5. What exactly do you want to cut out, Joe, Kristen? What exactly should be taken out?
Yeah, name it. The dollars that get it, just it's just numbers. I'm always, when he was like, West Virginia has changed, into what? Like, and the woman's like, yeah, we've got a lot of poverty. Tell me when they didn't. I'm not sure when. Maybe it's me. When in the last X number of years, West Virginia has not been the place where you're like, you know what? I think I'm going to go make it in West Virginia. That's not where you go. So when did it all of a sudden go and make a really big change? It's, to me, it's always been sort of what it is.
They do have that casino out there, to be fair.
Okay. They've got a casino.
You know, the other problem with the math here, if you think about it, is, have you noticed that they keep talking about all of this is over 10 years? So if you're talking about $3 trillion over 10 years, you're really only talking about $300 billion. Now, that's, you know, not chump change. But I mean, if you add up what you're actually spending next year, it's nowhere near the amounts they're talking about. This is how much this stuff costs over 10 years. Well, if you start adding up what everything costs over 10 years, all the numbers look extreme. I think if they break it down and say, here's what we're just going to spend next year, the numbers start to look a lot smaller. And then you start focusing on, well, what will it actually pay for? And I think they'll find a lot more support.
But they won't, because everybody's so focused on either the 3.5 trillion number or the 2 trillion number that they might want to negotiate down to, that when you get, I mean, Ward, you've seen this for years, as soon as you get into the details of legislation, or when you get into details of any policy discussion, people just go to sleep, or their eyes turn glazed and they lose interest. So, but big numbers and sex scandals, we all perk up.
Yeah. You know, if you take it year by year and you impose the program, so all of a sudden you've got universal daycare, all of a sudden you've got these new benefits, and maybe you fund it for 2 or 3 years, you only talk about that much. And then at the third or fourth year, oh, okay, now are you going to take all those programs away from everybody? Now you've got a built-in constituency lobbying to keep this stuff going. I mean, there's a way in which you might be able to get a large number of these programs to continue over time. You just may have to scale back from a 10-year funding to maybe a 5-year funding. So you've cut it in half, you've met their number if they're looking for an arbitrary number, but you've got your programs and you start building a constituency. It's like trying to take away Social Security now. It's just not going to happen.
Not to be outdone, the Senate's other prominent Democrat from a red state, Kyrsten Sinema, takes an interesting tactic when asked about her hesitancy to support key pieces of the Biden administration, as this audio recording of an exchange between her and NBC News' Peter Thorpe shows.
What do you say to progressives that are frustrated that they don't know where you are?
I'm in the Senate. Right here.
The progressives? There are progressives within the Senate that are frustrated that they don't know where you are either.
I wonder if we just got to look into her thought process. For example, we don't hear about how she is in negotiations and deal making. So maybe she just spends her time constructing how to talk about her surroundings. Where are you, Senator? Well, I'm right here trying to make my way through all these protesters calling me the C word.
Oh, my God. She said I'm at the elevator.
She stood there. With the most absurd answer, and she probably thought she was being clever.
Maybe if she actually answered the questions better. I mean, I saw one clip of somebody following her into the bathroom to try to ask her questions. The problem seems to be with her, whether you follow her, whether you ask her any question, we're not getting, from Manchin, you get the idea that, okay, this guy's posturing, this guy's saying, well, I want a smaller number, but I can go along with this. From her, I have no idea what she's trying to get out of this. If she wants any number at all, is there any number that will satisfy her?
We don't know.
Negotiations.
This is not the first time we've been unable to overcome an impasse in our ability to improve infrastructure in this country. Take a listen to this clip from election night 2010, as Democrats were losing control of the House of Representatives, and as Chris Matthews and then Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell talk about how we are not living up to our expectations.
When is the Democratic Party going to be a building party again instead of just a check-writing party?
Well, a building party...
You know the problem. The party used to build things. They built America. They built everything. They built everything in Washington, everything in the big cities, the subway systems, the train systems. They believed in public investment in building things, 30th Street Station.
Sure.
It wouldn't be there with this current mentality. The current mentality is write some checks and get out of the way. Cut some taxes.
Absolutely.
Don't do anything.
Chris, who's the number one advocate for rebuilding this country's infrastructure?
You are, but it doesn't seem like we can't even catch up to the French. They've got the TGV. They've got the China. We got nothing anymore. The Chinese are beating us 300 miles an hour trains.
And
we're
Chris,
going
you're absolutely
tooting along
right.
at 60 miles an hour on Amtrak. It's a joke because America
right
doesn't
because
build anymore.
When we build something, we not only create the jobs on the building site, we revitalize
right.
American manufacturing. And we need to revitalize steel and concrete and asphalt and aggregate
when?
And all those things.
We're building Monahan Station in New York to connect to what? What's it going to connect to?
Don't get me started.
I'm sorry, because I just don't see the Democrats having the confidence to build stuff. Have a capital budget and say we got to build again.
Later on in the clip, Governor Rendell goes on to say how the Democrats really don't have the guts to do any big legislation. And I think it kind of holds true. I mean, you have a majority of the American people, including some independents and Republican voters, who, I mean, they're in favor of raising the debt ceiling. They're in favor of the items in the infrastructure package. So if you're worried about losing seats, then why not just go for broke, you know, go all out, pass the bigger package anyway, because with the thin majority Democrats have in both houses, they're likely to lose control anyway, no matter what they do. So you might as well get something big done. Otherwise, your base will just be more motivated to stay home because they feel as though in 2018 and 2020, they campaigned for Nothing.
What did you do with all the effort? That's exactly right. Do something good right now, and maybe people will realize it. If you don't, then at least you did something good.
I mean, they ultimately did finish Moynihan Station because I wrote in it a few months ago. I wrote to it, but it's only connected to the old part of Penn. So that's what it's connected to, if he really wants to know. Yeah, I'm with Ward. You got to just name the stuff. You've got to personalize it for people. The numbers don't make any sense to anybody. You just have to say, okay, fine. This is what happens. We'll take away this, 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 and this, and then you have nothing. And I don't want to go on record saying that the Democrats have messaging challenges. They do to some degree, but Obama, he was very, very clear about healthcare. He never wasn't clear. I mean, kind of the big thing for him, right? But he was always very, very clear. And I don't remember what the numbers were then, and who cares what it costs. His whole message was, we need health care for everybody, and so I'm going to make that happen. And he did, and that was sort of plain and simple. Not so simple, but plain language.
Thing is, though, the message got lost somewhere between the White House and Congress, where it was basically just one of the biggest corporate giveaways of all time. If this country was worried about socialized medicine, then what we have now is the farthest thing from it.
Yeah, it's not this. No, and it's not super cheap. But it was at least clear what he was working towards, as opposed to some sort of just indescribable thing with no name attached to it.
Well, yeah, you know, I come back to, I think that President Obama got as much as humanly possible with the Senate the way it was, which was 59 votes. But let's not forget that the plan they ultimately passed with no Republican votes was the Bob Dole health plan. It was not single payer like Obama wanted. It was not an Obama plan. It was the Republican Party's plan, and then they wouldn't even vote for it.
That's true. Very amazing true.
Thing of it all. I mean, thank God that there's something for people, you know, and all credit to Obama and all the Democrats that pushed it through. But it was just always amazing to me, the Republicans saying, you know, they shoved Bob Dole's health care plan down our throats. Well, yeah, it was your plan.
Right. You're right.
To sum up, China recently proposed a $200 billion project where a train could travel underwater and connect China and Russia to the United States and Canada. The project may never go through, not because of costs, but because Sarah Palin, observing the project from the balcony of her compound, heavily guarded by bears and wolves stuffed with animatronic equipment and holding AR-15s, will stop the passage of the project for fear that it will deliver communist literature and overthrow her media empire, which sounds massive, but only comprises of the voices in her head. Should the animatronic wild animals fail to do their job, Palin will deploy her secret weapon, a recently deposed Senator Mitch McConnell, appearing in a Stetson hat, white t-shirt, and Bermuda shorts, holding a glass of milk spiked with Kentucky bourbon, and the most recent version of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition, and yell, if Mitch's affect can even make him sound like he's angry, get off my lawn. Wanting to subliminally kill off the infrastructure of the country isn't uniquely American. As a significant portion of the country is deeply evangelical, our need to want to destroy ourselves from within has a biblical origin. How so? God created the earth and then flooded it, destroying most of the life he spent so long creating at such painstaking effort. It's the perfect metaphor in our brief, soundbite, social media ensconced existence. The flood was God's way of saying, felt creative, might delete later. IDK. Happy face. And on that note, that's our show. I want to thank Jeff Heisen, Abby Mello, Gina Brown, and Ward Morrow.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
This episode was written and hosted by Tom Myers with panelists Jeff Heisen, Abby Mello, and Gina Brown, and guest Ward Morrow. Theme music by Jeroen Vandenuren. Executive producer Tom Myers. Executive producer for IPM Nation, Matt Connerton. For more information, visit tommyers.us.